Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Just some laughter pre-record.
Just some giggles.
Some giggles.
It's an inside joke. You guys wouldn't understand. I mean, you all wouldn't understand.
Good one. What's up?
How's it going?
It's funny because we catch up and then we start recording and it's like, how are you? I just told you.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Honestly, I know we've spoken about this before, but like, I just feel like I haven't had a summer and that's really my only pit right now, but we'll get into pits and peaks in a little. But in general, I'm feeling like, where did my summer go? I'm not tan at all. I feel like I haven't stepped into the sun. Where's the sun been? Has it been out?
When it's out, you can't go outside because it's so unbearably hot that like you can't even stomach the heat.
And also like work.
Right.
Which we'll get into. How about you? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I have had a little bit of a summer. Like I have like 2 weeks of summer, which is nice, where I don't really have very much to do. So I feel very good about that. But similarly, I realized yesterday, like, oh, summer's going to be over for me in like 2 weeks. What the heck?
Yeah.
But also I know that I'm going to change my mind when it's winter, but like I'm over summer. I'm not trying to have it be winter, but I am trying to have it be fall. Like I'm looking forward
Same.
To that.
The fall outfits are unmatched.
First of all, every time it's summer, I forget how to dress for summer.
Same.
I don't even do it. Like
I do.
But I never wear, never. I really don't wear like sundresses and stuff like that. Like that's what everyone says girls wear in the summer because it's like cool. I'm like, I don't really.
You have some. No, Liz is being humble. You have like fire fits.
Thanks.
When you want to see someone who really can't dress for summer, I mean, look at me. I actually just dress for winter in the summer.
Well, when you spend most of the time inside in air conditioning, like,
yeah,
why dress for summer? I also don't, this is a really weird ick, but I don't like when my legs like rub up against each other. Mm. Like, even if I have freshly shaven legs, like you all know, if you shave your legs, that even then your legs are never like perfectly shaven. Mm-hmm. So then when my like legs rub up against each other, I hate it. And I have really sensitive skin. So every time skin touches my skin, I get red. Mm. So I don't like wearing, I especially don't like wearing denim shorts.
I hate those.
Like it's.
Yeah. There's a reason I gave those up.
It's an atrocity.
Yeah.
And so, but sometimes pants are also obviously uncomfortable in the summer because it's 100 degrees. I'm wearing pants in Sarah's apartment and I'm hot.
Same.
It's hot out.
Same. I will say like I think that summer outfits could be cute. Like I love this, a good summer dress. I love feeling like free and young and alive, but I just don't know how to do it. And like, I never really know how to dress in general. Almost 27, still trying to figure out what my style is. But like in the winter, all you need is like some sheer black tights.
Totally.
Some cute black boots and a cute like sweater. And you're set for the winter.
Right. There's so many ways to just elevate like winter looks.
Yeah.
As opposed to summer. It's just like you're trying to stay cool. And then what do you wear? I really don't know.
Exactly. Like, and also layers could be so cute. But in the summer, you can't wear layers.
It's so true. And also you just like sweat through anything.
Yeah.
I can't.
Like the 2020 winter turtleneck under everything vibe was I can't wait to bring that back.
I like when the trend like matches the weather.
Yes.
Like I don't like when they're like trend for the winter is like cutouts because I've been seeing that for this winter. That's what people are talking about. I'm like, what are you talking about? How are we going to be warm? Like I like the turtleneck under.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Trend.
No, of course not. It's stupid. And I saw one that was like cutout knits are trendy, like wearing like a crop knit sweater and like a long knit skirt. I'm like, what temperature is that
no,
for?
No, no.
Cause see, I have to bear my midriff.
Yeah. And no. Then, I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's not. Good.
No. That's like sometimes in the summer and they look really cute, but I see people wearing like heavy black docks in the summertime with like shorts.
Right.
And I'm like, that's cute, but like, aren't you hot on your feet?
Totally.
Because our feet like hold heat.
100%. And I could do that when it's like 78, no hotter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 100 degrees in New York. And you can't wear sandals because it's disgusting to wear sandals in New York. Like I do.
Yeah.
But really, I try not to if I'm taking the subway a lot or like if I'm walking places.
And then imagine you get home, you don't shower, and then you put those feet in your bed.
That's what I do. Like, sorry, I'm a morning showerer. Yeah. And if I'm really disgusting, I'll shower. But like most of the time I don't at night. Like,
yeah.
Have you seen this thing where all of these celebrities, like particularly white celebrities, are saying like, yeah, I don't bathe my kid until they smell like ass.
No.
It's this thing that started with like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher were on Dax Shepard's podcast, which talk about like a big group of whites. But they were like talking about bathing or something. And Ashton and Mila were like, yeah, I don't like really bathe unless like until I like start to smell. I'm like, wait a damn minute. You know that sound?
Yeah.
But obviously, I guess Mila talked about it because she was like, I'm a refugee. Like she came to America when she was like, whatever. So it's maybe like a cultural thing for her. But I'm like, excuse me, you guys have so much money. What are you talking about?
Like I know you have more than one bathroom.
I know you have more than one bathroom and you have nannies to bathe your kids.
Right.
And being around a lot of little kids, like my siblings get bathed twice a day, and that's like bragging on my parents. That's like, they're so disgusting. If you don't bathe them twice a day, like it's vile. So I just like want to say that's not us. Like they don't represent us.
Yeah. We are not the same.
We're not the same. If I ever don't shower one day, it's because I'm like, it's one of those Sundays when I'm not going outside or doing anything. Right. Like I'm hungover or something.
Right.
But I shower every day. Like
the older you get also, the more aware you are of like needing to shower every day.
Yes.
It used to be like, I should shower every day. Now it's like, I have to shower every day because I am aware of it. But you know, it's so funny. My dad is really someone who cares about like cleanliness and hygiene. He's very big on that. And I just remember so many memories from my childhood of my dad being like, did you wash your feet before you got into your bed? Like he said that to us all the time. Like if I walked around the house without slippers on, it was like, don't forget to wash your feet because the house floor is dirty.
Right.
And he didn't want me getting into my bed. And I would be like, Dad, why?
He's right. And I never would have thought about it until I was older and realized like that, how gross that is.
How did we start talking about this? Oh, the sandals and the
we're talking about clothing. Summer and then clothing and then bathing.
Right. I just feel like I'm ready for winter. I'm so over sweating. It's like, it's a huge issue for me. I can't wait to feel like cold again.
Yeah. And then it'll be December December's nice because it's holidays, but in January and February, that's the worst time of existence.
Oh, fully. We're sitting here being like, we can't wait. 6 months from today, take notes. We're going to be like, run this back, bring this right. Like someone please pull up this episode and remind us of how miserable we were in the summer, because I'm going to be like, I just can't wait for warmer weather. Yeah.
Totally. Well, that's life, I guess. You always want what you don't have. Grass is greener type thing.
True.
So before we get into Peak and Pit, another friendly reminder about BetterHelp. BetterHelp is a sponsor of this podcast. They are an online counseling service. They're not a crisis line. They have counselors in every state. People ask Sarah and I all the time, do we know therapists? Can we find therapists? And we're like, not only do we know therapists, but BetterHelp sponsors our podcast. So if you are looking for a mental health professional to speak with virtually, BetterHelp has thousands of options and they'll help you find someone right for you. Go to betterhelp.com/itsfine. That's betterhelp.com/itsfine for 10% off your first month of service.
Okay. Hi.
Hello. So Peak and Pit.
Sure. You go first.
Okay. So my pit is really kind of a peak. Like I just have big life decisions to make. And it's a pit because, you know, when you're sitting like at a crossroads and you're like, which is the right decision?
Mm-hmm.
But it's good because I have decisions and I feel very grateful. Sorry for being vague, but I keep some things private here. And then,
as you should.
As I should. And then my peak, I have like a lot. I have I went to see my dad a couple weeks ago. The weather was so nice and it was just like lovely. He lives in Massachusetts. And my other peak, even though we haven't gotten the Kanye album yet, is just like the content that we're getting. And I knew that this would happen, but seeing him and Kim just like being really good together, co-parenting, and like they're all still doing things together made me really happy, because I was always honestly, like, I feel really good now, because when they were together, I was always worried that they were going to get divorced. Mm. And so now that they're divorced and they're like just co-parenting, it's like there's nothing really, there's nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. Of course, I know that Kanye can be, he struggles with his mental health. He can be very erratic. So mm-hmm. I do worry sometimes that he'll like go off the deep end, and I actually scratch that. I don't want to say that, but I worry sometimes that he'll be in a mental state where he will speak poorly on people, because he has done that before. But for right now, I'm enjoying seeing like they all seem to be healthy, and it's been like a nice era of music and Kanye and whatever. So that's where I'm at. How about you?
I just want to say, like, I can't wait for Kanye's album, because I feel like every time he has a new album, and obviously, like, I can't believe I'm the one talking about this right now, yeah. but every time he has a new album, it's just so different and new.
Yeah.
Right?
And, yeah.
And,
yeah.
100%. And honestly, like, his last two albums, well, okay, two albums ago, Jesus Is King.
Yeah.
The day it came out, Liz and I met him.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
Like, you know, I just have good memories with his, I mean, you have more memories with his music, but like, I'm ready for some new stuff and I'm excited. And you know what? He should be able to take his time, because this is his art.
100%.
And if you were working on a piece of art, you wouldn't want to feel rushed either.
And it's named after his mom, so he's not going to like make it bad.
Yeah.
It's also really praise music, but it's not, I haven't heard, and absolutely no disrespect to our Christian listeners, because we love and adore you.
But we love.
As you know, like, Sarah and I don't, like, our religion doesn't include Jesus. So sometimes when Kanye's music had Jesus, I was like, this is awesome. Like, I just replace it with Hashem or mm-hmm. God or whatever. And like, it
Same.
Speaks to me. But a lot of the songs are very like universal, yeah. universal praise music, which is wonderful. So I would listen to it anyway, but it's nice when it's like, oh, like, this is for all of us.
Totally. You know? Like, there's, what is the song? It's like, he is wonderful. Durful.
Oh.
But I always say, he is one.
Yeah. Because Jews are really big on like,
God being one.
Like, there's not multiple.
Yeah. So I always change the lyrics for myself. But hey, that's what music is. Like, you interpret it for your own self.
Totally.
That's the whole point.
Totally.
Okay. Awesome. My pit is, well, we haven't recorded in a while, so I'll just say what this actually may have been my pit last time too, but I don't care. Cause it's like still a pit, but you know, when you're just like so busy that you feel like you can't catch a break and take care of yourself. And the truth is that it really has been slowing down in August, which has been nice. But yeah, July and even like the beginning of last week, it was just so busy mm-hmm. that like this past Monday was the first time I was just home for the night without anything to do. And it was the nicest thing I've like ever experienced. And I was like, wow, I really missed this. Like, sometimes you really just need a night in, more than one night in, to make yourself a good meal, nourish yourself, get good sleep, like regroup. And I just hadn't done that in so long. It while I enjoyed all of the things I was doing, it just gets so exhausting. This may have, was this my pit last time? Do you remember?
I think so.
H.
It's okay.
Okay. Well, I can come up with it, whatever. It's still my pit. It's just, I'm now like recovering from all of the fatigue of the things I've been doing, but I am finally feeling like I'm entering the other side of like more relaxed, less busy times.
Yeah.
So like my plans right now are a little bit more spontaneous. Whereas like for the entire month of June, they were planned out in like, no, sorry, the entire month of July, all my plans were from that plans I had made in June. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like now it's like my plans are a little bit more spontaneous and it's nice. I feel mm-hmm. like I can make decisions about what I want to do. So we're entering a new side, but that really was my pit. And my peak was Friday night. I had like a really big Shabbat. There were like 40 people at my rabbi's house and the table was like massive. And it was friends I had made from like over the months, over the years. It was really nice. Just so many friends in one place. And it was just such a good time. Good food, good people. And then the group simmered down to like maybe like 10 mm-hmm. and we were there until like 2:15 in the morning and we were singing, we were drinking. Like, it was so fun. And it feels really nice to feel like there's a community that I'm a part of, you yeah. know, like I feel like that sometimes can be hard to feel in a big space like New York City or when I was in college, like I joined a sorority for that same reason. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, I have my friends, so that wasn't like I didn't feel lonely, but it's nice to feel like you're part of a community where you go and maybe they're not your best friends, but like you see people that you know and that you love and that you could trust. So it was really fun. It was a really, really nice night. And yeah, that was my peak of the week.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason. And when I went to Chabad with you last week, that's what they were talking about, is how, because the Chabad that you go to specifically caters to young professionals. Yeah. So 20 something Jewish people living in New York, and how they find that they're successful in curating a community because this is an age group where like you really don't have one.
Yeah.
Like
even 20s and 30s.
20s and 30s. But even if you have a good group of friends in New York, which you do, it's still like when you're in college, you go to the sorority house, or when you're in mm-hmm. college, you go to your club, or you go to your like sports, whatever. Like mm-hmm. you're on your team. In high school, it's high school. So like you know your people, you go to the cafeteria, yeah. whatever. In when you have a family, you have a family. So like you come home to the family, or you have a shul that you mm-hmm. go to. So I totally know what you mean. And I think a lot of people like want that mm-hmm. at this age group, but they don't know how to get it. So it's good that you have curated that for yourself. Thank you. And also all credit to the rabbi in Rebbetzin who
yeah.
know that and like intentionally, you know, sprinkle the magic on the group.
Totally.
They all keep coming back.
Totally. And sorry, one thing I just want to say is I feel like when you're younger, like you want your best friends to be able to fulfill every need and everything. And then as you get older, you realize like one person, even if they're your boyfriend or your husband or your partner, or your girlfriend or your significant other, whoever it is, like not like one person can't fulfill every single totally. Interest of yours or hobby of yours and like meet you where you're at.
Right.
It's just impossible because you're never going to find someone who's exactly like you.
Yeah.
So it's nice for me to feel like I have my best friends, but in certain areas of my life where I have different interests than them, like there's a place where I can go to meet those needs where I don't have to like beg my best friends to be like fulfilling those interests.
Right.
You know,
totally.
Like I have my Jonas group. It's nice to have like different groups for different interests.
I completely agree. And this is kind of tangential, but Chris like doesn't listen to our podcast. And I remember I used to be like self-conscious to say that because I was like, wow, he like doesn't care about me.
Right.
But that's so, I mean, you know, that's so the opposite of true. And it's like, just sometimes like you're not necessarily supposed to like mix things.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. If you have a podcast and like your partner listens to it, that's also normal. But yeah. like, it took me a while for me to be like, he doesn't care about me or like the things that I do. And then I'm like, it's so not true because A, if we ever did like a live podcast, he would be there. And B, like, he does the things with me that like we're supposed to do together.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm overcompensating for the fact that he doesn't.
No. It makes total sense.
It's just like, I also like, he does all this, like he writes for like horse magazines. Like I wouldn't read them.
He does?
He like did. I don't know if he sold it. Honestly, like, I don't know.
That's cool. Go but crazy.
I don't read them. Like I maybe read one because it was like, he was like, look what I did. And yeah. same with him. Like he'll listen to like the Jared Carabas right. episode because that's interesting to him. But like, he's not interested in this stuff. And like, that's okay. Like,
or like imagine. Yeah. Imagine Chris being as obsessed with pop culture as you. That would be weird.
It would be horrible.
You wouldn't like that.
No,
like,
I wouldn't.
If Chris was your pop culture, the person you spoke to about pop culture, the person that you connected with about fashion, the person that it literally wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even have anything to say to each other anymore yeah. because you would just be the same person. He would just be Liz.
Right.
And that, and you don't want to date Liz. I mean, maybe you do, but
no, I don't.
I mean,
actually.
I do, but
no. Wait a minute. Just kidding. It became a different podcast.
But like, yeah, I mean, you just want to be like, even with us, like it's nice that we're able to like tell each other things that we don't
share.
That we yeah. don't share.
Yeah.
Because like I can recap to you things about going on in my life and vice versa, but we don't need to be the exact same person.
Yeah. I think it would be bad if we were.
Yeah.
So the kind of topic of our episode today, we've been thinking about it because as Sarah mentioned, she has had like a really, really busy work schedule, which you often do, but I think it kind of picked up over the past couple of months. And similarly, I'm in like a transition phase when I am looking at my future, I'll say, and knowing I'm going to be working a lot for at least a couple of years. So it dawned on me and it dawned on Sarah that mm-hmm. we're just kind of like, is it possible to work really hard as we do? And I'm sure as many of our listeners do, we know so many of you are entrepreneurs or business owners, or you work for a company and your hours are crazy, or maybe you're like a full-time mom and you have multiple kids and it's just so, women do everything. And we know that not all of our listeners are women, by the way, but we know a lot of you are. And this also applies to men, but from our vantage point as women, we know how much we take on. Cause you know, the thing that's like, there's a tweet or something like, I don't know, where people are like, when we signed up to have jobs and we were like, men, we can do this too in the 50s or whatever. We didn't realize that we were also still doing all the other things.
Right.
Like, we didn't kiss our like home life goodbye because we got jobs. So we essentially, most women, even if you don't have kids, you are juggling a lot of things. Maybe men are not. So our question and what we're going to kind of talk about, we don't have an answer to, obviously we never do, is like, can we do all these things and still be like mentally healthy? I'm honestly not sure. Like, I'm not trying to make people feel scared, but we haven't really mastered it yet, to be honest. Cause anytime either of us are super busy, we're just like not well.
Yeah.
And then when we calm down, we're like, okay, like I got my bearings and I feel a lot better now, but like, is that healthy? I don't know.
And that's the end of the episode. Cause
we don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's just like, it's so true that, and obviously we're not trying to say like, you should be cooking and cleaning and doing all the laundry and this and that, and like also have a job and you need to be perfect at it all. But, you know, it obviously having a job doesn't like remove you from other responsibilities of taking care of a family and having a home. And that's not to say your partner doesn't do that as well, but like you still have many things to manage. Even me, who lives completely by myself, and same with Liz, like managing social life, having a job, feeling fulfilled,
keeping your apartment relatively clean,
doing
your laundry,
exactly,
like those
making
little things.
Food for yourself.
Right.
It's really, really tough. And the answer, or the truth is that I don't have the answer. But something that my therapist has helped me with when I am like feeling super, super overwhelmed is, first of all, she'll ask me to break each thing down into separate categories, like compartmentalize, and not try and like group all of my anxieties together, because then it just feels like one big mountain to climb that I can't do. So if you break it all down, okay, here's what's stressful at work, and then you're also stressed about making yourself healthy meals. Okay, let's break them down into separate categories, and then, okay, I don't do this, but then, like, it would be nice if I did. Like, break them down into separate categories and then come up with almost like a game plan for each. So, okay, I don't feel like I'm making myself nutritional meals this week. On Sunday, I'm going to like have, I'm going to meal prep for 3 lunches this week and like prepare those for myself. And then separately from that, when it comes to work, like I'm going to do this one thing that makes me feel more productive. You know what I mean? Kind of making them like separate things, so that it doesn't feel like one big overwhelming pile of anxiety that you just can't manage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. I think I lost my train of thought.
I need to stop saying, does it make sense?
But it does make sense. I think, honestly, if I actually like all of the things that I, that would be beneficial to, like if I actually did all of the things that are on my to-do list, my really long to-do list, I would have no time. And so sometimes I have to, like, we all have to prioritize.
So true.
What actually matters. Because even though I have like a break right now, I was thinking to myself yesterday, like I've had 2 days where I haven't really done very much. And even on those days, I'm like, oh, I could be using this day to clean my apartment, or I could be using this day to like mail return, like return things that I've been meaning to return. And that I don't like, because maybe it's a little bit of depression, and not to like, not, it's not even a dramatic thing. It's just sometimes I'm like lying in bed and I'm like, I don't want to do that. And I always think about Alana, because Alana always like classifies herself. She's like, I'm lazy. I'm like, no, you aren't. Because whenever she describes like off days that she has, she's like, I did this thing and like I mailed this and I did this laundry. I'm like, you are very productive. And it's not that I'm
so
not.
True.
It's not that I'm not. And it's not that, like, it just is hard to find flow sometimes, especially when I have off. Like, I'm most productive when I'm really busy. And then when I'm really busy, I'm like, I hate this. I want to be able to lie in bed and read a book for fun or watch TV for fun. But then when I'm doing that, I literally every little thing I have to do feels like the biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
Like having to go drop off my laundry yesterday, even though it was really the only thing I had to do besides like one thing in the morning, felt like impossible. It literally felt impossible. And I'm like, is this depression? Like,
right.
Is it, or is it just like, is my life kind of black and white? Like when I'm doing everything, I'm doing it all. And then when I'm relaxing, I can't. My relaxing day, I don't consider the day when I'm like running around doing my errands, which, by the way, we need to talk about the 5 versus 2 day weekend thing we have going on, because that's not enough.
Not enough.
But my point is, like, I just feel like I'm never really off ever. I want to be off and like literally not do anything. And it's, you can't do that.
It's called Shabbat.
No, I know it's called Shabbat. But kidding, even on Shabbat, joking. You have to like pray and it, there's tasks.
No, I'm joking.
To be done.
I'm joking. No, I know. I'm joking.
I know.
No, yeah, I actually fully relate. Like, I think that the thing is that on the days where I feel like I, let's say I had a day where I only had to do my laundry. It feels like, oh, you only have to do your laundry, but okay. I want this to come out correctly, but it's like on days for people like us where there's not much going on, it gives us so much time to think. And I feel like sometimes my thoughts are like so consuming that I actually just can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And it's not like I'm sitting there necessarily like, oh my gosh, like I'm not panicking. We're really in our heads like a lot. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but like for me, when I have not much going on in a day, I'm just sitting there with my thoughts and it feels like I actually like don't want to do anything and I can't like be productive because I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then on the days where I'm like super, super busy, it depends what mood I'm in. Sometimes I get like a lot done and then actually sometimes the days where I'm busy, I feel like I get more done than on the days where I have nothing to do. But on the days where I have nothing to do, it's like, oh my gosh. Like, okay, I have nothing to do. Like, I want to be productive. What do I do today? Sometimes you just need a break. And sometimes being productive literally means doing absolutely nothing or doing what feels right in that moment. But I will say a lot of times where I have to like get little things done for my apartment or little thing, like whatever it is, like laundry or cleaning, I can't even get myself up to do it. And I don't fully know why, but I feel like it's
like a mental block.
Yeah, it's like a mental block.
It's like the yips. You know the yips?
No.
When you're like a baseball player, I only know this because of like Chris, but pitchers, I think it's specifically for pitchers, and I think people also use it in golf, where it's like you are the best pitcher, like you're a professional baseball player and you pitch, and then all of a sudden like you get up to the plate and you can't throw the ball like you've been trained to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quite the same, but sometimes I'm literally lying in bed and I'm like, I can't get up. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And something ultimately will push me out of bed. Like, I'm very fortunate in the sense that I'm not depressed to the point of like not getting out of bed for multiple days on end. But there are some times when I have like 6 hours and I can't do anything. And I was reflecting about, because yesterday I really did very little with my day. Like, I watched TV, I read, and it was really nice in some ways. But then when it was 9 p.m., I was like feeling really anxious and kind of depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the days specifically, like I was reflecting on days pre-COVID when we would have work and then we would have shiur. So like we would all be together for Torah study and then we would go to pergola. And I always used to complain because I was like, you guys, I get up early. Like, it's really important to me. And it was. And I'm glad that I like respected myself. But then I would come home and I would be so like elated and happy, even though in the long run, I probably wasn't taking proper care of myself because I would get like 6 hours of sleep and you're really supposed to get like 7 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because like when I'm doing that, I feel, you know, there's 5 days past where you're so busy and you're not getting enough sleep. You had this like 2 weeks ago and you just feel so run down and bad. But then when you have the days where you're like able to sleep as much as you want, which are rare, but when you have them, even on Sunday night, like if I don't do anything all weekend, the whole week, I'm like, I can't wait to do nothing. By Sunday night, I'm like, what did I do? Like, I hate this.
Right.
So how do you find flow where you're like treating yourself well, but you're also being productive? I also know some people might not relate to this. Like, some people really like doing nothing for 2 days. Like, and they really genuinely like derive a lot of reset from that. And I think I get some, but I don't know. And I was also thinking about recruitment because when I was like recruiting, like I'm also thinking because it's like a big trend on TikTok is Alabama sorority recruitment. But when I was on the like recruitment team in college for 2 years, because I was president, but also like, you know, the people who really stay up past the NME is what we call. No, the NME was New Member Education. What do we call it?
Sorry, I just check for work.
No, that's okay. We were the people who had to stay up past everyone, and everyone already had to stay up late. And I remember going into it being like, this is going to suck. And I loved it. And then by the end, I collapsed and I remember crying like mm-hmm. with everyone, not because we were like so emotional, but because we were so tired.
Yeah.
But the days when I was like going home and getting very little sleep, like it kind of sucked, but it was also so invigorating. Like I would wake up and have things to do all day.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like yeah. it's so not healthy, like physically not for mm-hmm. the long run, but mm-hmm. I was so like ready to go. I was pumped. I had something to do every day, every moment.
I feel like we are very similar in the sense of like, we really enjoy feeling accomplished. Like yeah. we did things and productive might just mean like you went out, you socialized, you did things with your friends, you went out to dinner or you went to a class. It's like, I feel like we love feeling like we had a full day.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, oh, I did so much work. I mean like we did things.
We did a variety of things. Yeah.
Yeah. We lived. But yeah, sometimes it can be really, really draining. I have a really hard time like relaxing. Like I don't really know what relaxing means. Same. Even on days off, like let's say it's a Sunday morning and I have no plans, nothing to do. Like there will be, I think I've done this like twice in my life. Okay. That's a huge exaggeration, but like only a handful of times have I sat around and literally not gone anywhere or done anything. Like I usually feel like, okay, let me go up and like go shopping today. Or like, Let me go do something. Like I always feel like I have to do something to feel accomplished. But I also think that it stems from anxiety of like feeling like you need to have control over how your day goes, what you did, feeling accomplished. And like if we didn't do anything, we feel like anxious because the day got ahead of us and we didn't get to like seize the day.
Right.
It's like a loss of control type of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be reaching.
No, I think you're right. I was yesterday when I was like, I lie in bed so much of the day, but I'm never relaxing. Like I genuinely, yeah. like what is relaxing? I don't know her.
Yeah. Yeah. Because same. I don't know her.
Even if I'm like lying in bed watching, that's actually maybe untrue, but it's never an intentional, like I'm taking this hour to relax and then I do it. It's always like an accidental relax. And then when I accidentally relax, I'm like, whoa, I shouldn't have been relaxing. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. when you find like there, a couple of weeks ago, there was like one day, one afternoon when I was like looking at TikTok and I was laughing so hard and I was like really enjoying myself, thinking like, wait, this is really fun. Like, I like this. I'm so happy. And then I was like, wait a minute. Like, I didn't mean to do that. Mm-hmm. So there's a cyclical circular issue where when you find yourself relaxing as an anxious person, you're mm-hmm. like, I wasn't supposed to be relaxing then. Mm-hmm. But if you set aside time to relax, you can't. Do you right. know what I mean?
100%. 100%. I forgot what I was going to say. But
take your time.
Even like this conversation stresses me out because it's like, I just, you know, people have always told me, Sarah, you're so busy. Sarah, you're so busy. I get that all the time. And I always like get defensive and I'm like, no, like, I don't know why that makes me like really defensive, but I think maybe it's because of anxiety. Maybe it's because of something else, but I naturally like just always have plans. And I feel like that's not because I'm like so popular. It's because I naturally always make plans for myself. And yeah. I think it's like when I see a free day on my calendar, I'm like, what am I doing that night? And I mean, that's something I have to work on. Like I have to work on finding a free night for myself or taking care of myself. And the thing is that honestly, self-care is a balance. Taking care of myself does mean socializing for me. Like it does mean going out and thriving and with other people and feeding off of other people's energy. But when I do that too much, then I'm like, my body calls for a break before I can even think that I need a break. Mm-hmm. But I really do need to carve out like nights where I'm not doing anything. But I guess what I also need to work on is those nights where I'm not doing anything. Like I do get anxious because I feel like I'm not productive, or I know that if I'm home, it means I have to take care of like home things for myself. And when you're just taking care of yourself, it's so easy to say like, I can push this off.
Yeah. You're very much an extrovert. Mm-hmm. Like you really do get energy from being around other people. But I think there's also part of it that you don't like empty spaces because they force you to be alone with yourself. And that's like really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Even I, like I'm not an extrovert, but even when I'm alone, I need to be listening to something. And I've definitely talked about this before because my own thoughts like are really scary and I feel like alone. I don't feel like I'm alone in the universe. I have no one. Mm-hmm. I know that I don't. Mm-hmm. But when I feel like alone in my apartment, which I literally live in a studio, like I'm alone all the time. But when I feel alone and it's just me and my thoughts, I hate, like I can't even think about it. I have to be listening to a podcast. I have to be literally carrying my laptop around my apartment mm-hmm. to like watch a show while I'm doing things. Mm-hmm. And it's because I don't like want to be alone with my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel like someone's keeping me company.
Yeah.
So.
I also feel, I saw something on TikTok a while ago that I really resonated with. Not to discount what you just said, because yeah. I do agree and I do resonate with that. I think that turning off my phone on Saturdays has yeah. helped me a lot with not needing my phone to like feel fulfilled or like connected to the world. Like that's just a personal, everyone's different. That's just a personal thing for me. I feel like not being on my phone once a week has helped me not need it as much. So when I'm alone, even during the week, I don't feel like I need to be on it every second.
Yeah.
But something I really resonated with that I saw on TikTok was when you feel like you don't have control over your day because of work or whatever it is, people tend to stay up for like hours on end because they feel like that's their only sense of control. And that's actually how I feel a lot. I feel like my job is very demanding. It's almost a 24/7 job. Where I almost never have control over what my work hours are, when I'm going to get an email that I need to respond to. Advertising it's a very busy industry. So it's a very demanding job. And so a lot of times I feel that my life is not in my control. Mm-hmm. And so me making plans after work is my way of like, okay, I'm going to take control over my life and do something.
Yeah.
If I just sit here not doing anything, I'll end up staying up until like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Because it's my way of like fighting the system of being like, I actually do have control over my life and I'm going to stay up all night watching TikToks to prove it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a subconscious thing, but I resonate with that a lot.
That's maybe one of the things you've told me that I've resonated with the most, like ever, because sometimes I'm lying in my bed and I know it would be really beneficial for me to go to sleep and I'm tired. It's not mm-hmm. like I'm not tired.
Same.
Watching TikToks or like scrolling Instagram or whatever, because that's the only time of day when you're not confronted with something to do within the next like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So you're sacrificing your own self-care time or whatever, sleep time, because that's the only time even if you wake up early at 7:30, like you have to start work at 9 mm-hmm. and knowing that in 90 minutes, there's something is very like there, you lack control. Or even if you have a lunch break, yes, you know, you have an hour, but you only have an hour. When it's 11 PM and you have to wake up at 7, you're like, wow, I have a long time.
Yeah.
Which like really you should be sleeping, but I really resonate with
so
that.
True.
You can't, it's really hard for me to stop using my phone at night. Not because what I'm seeing is so riveting or interesting. Not even because I'm like so upset or anxious. I'm not the type of person that like can't sleep because of my anxiety. It just is the time of the day where I can't stop doing it because it's so thrilling to not have to stop to do something else, even yeah. though I should be stopping to sleep.
Yes.
But
yes.
That is a big reason why I don't get enough sleep. It's not because I'm anxious, it's because I'm using the time that I feel like is mine
exactly.
to do what I want to do.
On the money.
Yeah.
It's like exactly what I wanted to articulate. And yeah, when I saw that TikTok, I was like, whoa. I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was like, do you ever wonder why you stay up so late at night? It's because you want control over your day. Maybe you have a really busy work day. Like,
right.
It's so spot on. Let's say I'll have to teach yoga. So I teach yoga on Tuesdays and Thursday mornings. So sometimes on a Wednesday night, I know I have to be at yoga by 7 and then I have a full day of work meetings. I won't sleep the whole night because I'm like trying to hang on to these last moments before I have to wake up
freedom.
That are mine
right.
and that I have control over. And so I'll just extend it and go to sleep so late. And to be honest, that's like a really big reason why I had to cut TikTok out of my life a little bit. Like people are like, you love TikTok. And I'm like, it was all consuming.
Yeah.
When I used to be on TikTok every single night until, I'm not exaggerating, like 3 or 3:30 in the morning, because I just couldn't, like, first of all, it's addicting. But second of all, I didn't want to let go of like the fun I was having. And like, I was like, this is my fun, my life. I'm going to have to get up and work. But like, who cares if I'm tired? This is my time. And I had to stop because I was like, it's too much. I'm exhausted. I was always tired. But the issue is that now I'm just replacing TikTok with like activities.
Yeah.
And so I'm just tired. But yeah, I really like having a busy work day is can be really overwhelming. And I'm still trying to figure out like how to just not do anything after work and be okay with the fact that I had a busy work day, but then I just like have a meal and go to sleep.
Right. You move from one chair to the other chair in your apartment.
I know. It's like, especially because I work from home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. One thing that resonated with me once that Chris said, because I similarly don't like going to sleep because then I know I'll wake up in the morning and like then my day is not mine anymore, is like have something in the morning that you really look forward to. Like I can't really relate to this, but he loves his morning coffee. Like
pot of drip.
Many people do pot of drip, but he like really wakes up and when he remembers he gets to drink coffee, he's like so excited. Aww. And I don't feel that way anymore. Interestingly, like I used to love coffee and I still do, but we had a conversation where I was like, I actually don't really look forward to it anymore. It's like a chore because I have to drink coffee. So recently I bought like the Starbucks, you know, they sell like Starbucks like iced coffee in supermarkets. Mm-hmm. So I bought that like with like the black iced coffee, and I bought like a good creamer, like it's like Cold Stone flavored, so it's like ice creamy.
Oh,
it's really good. And I like made ice cubes and I have little straws, and I like, it's a nice ritual that I have when I wake up so that I have something to get out of bed for. And that may sound like depressing, but the people who tell you like you need to have purpose when you wake up don't, like, congratulations, you're the 0.0001% of people who have purpose when you wake up. My purpose is wanting to go back to sleep. Like I mm-hmm. can't think of my purpose when I wake up except for feeling tired. Mm-hmm. And I'm a work in progress. I want to be able to wake up and not feel as tired as I do. But in the meantime, I have this coping mechanism, which is not an unhealthy one. Everyone drinks coffee. So like I have a ritual where I'm like, oh, I get to have this when I'm up in the morning, which is a really difficult time of day. So if you're like me or Sarah and you're lying in bed watching TikToks and you're like, I can't like go to sleep because then my day is lost, think of something that you can do in the morning that's like particularly special. Maybe it's like if you, I've heard that it's really good to eat fruit when you first wake up. So like maybe if you make a smoothie in advance or you like walk to get one, it might not be the most cost effective thing, but it can help you. And the last thing I was going to say was, oh, one thing that really helps me sleep when I can't stop watching TikToks is, this is weird and I don't know if anybody will resonate. Sometimes when I'm watching a TV show and I see people in the TV show going to sleep, I think like, wow, that looks so nice. Like them turning off their lights, putting their book down, and then like they're tired and they go to sleep. So maybe like watching videos of people going to sleep. No, I don't know. But that always really makes me tired, is like thinking about how good it feels to be tired and go to sleep. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know how we got onto that topic, but I guess it's because we don't feel control over our days. And so we were saying that's the one time we feel like we do have control.
Yeah. Something that's really helped me fall asleep faster, actually, is that I used to work in my bed like all day long. When we were in Philly, I worked in my bed. And then, in Caitlin's bed. But when we got back from Philly, I worked in my bed every single day because I lived in an apartment with other girls and I didn't really have a workspace.
Right.
So I sat on my bed all day. And then when it was time to go to sleep, I wasn't tired because I was like, this is my workspace.
Right.
Whereas now in my apartment, I either work on my couch, at my table, anywhere but my bed. So now when I get into bed, I get instantly tired because my brain registered it as a place of sleep. Mm-hmm. So that made a really big difference in my life as well. But the truth is that managing stress is like really hard. And then also taking breaks and being okay with relaxing is also really hard.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to figure it all out. I remember when I similarly to your coffee, when I became obsessed with rice cakes with avocado and seasoning,
yeah,
I was going to sleep every night looking forward to eating the next morning.
I remember you saying that.
I mean, then I ate them every day and they just became normal to me.
Story of life.
Yeah. Which like they're still good, but I have them every day. So, I mean, it could be a meal, but I think originally, what did we want to talk about originally?
Like how we are managing
mental
high stress lives and like whether we can be mentally healthy. Corporate lives, I guess.
Corporate lives, I guess. Yeah. I think that, you know what? I actually like where this conversation went because I feel like we're airing out some of the really real experiences of living and working through a job that your hours are not necessarily yours.
Right.
Like maybe an entrepreneur, like someone who started their own business, would have a completely different experience than we do. But people who have bosses, right? And people who have worked for companies or for other people, you know, you oftentimes you don't choose your own hours. Mm-hmm. So it's like how, and then you have to like take care of yourself. Maybe you take care of someone else. So there's a lot of questions surrounding how to take care of your mental health when you have so many hours that aren't yours in the day. And I always like, I'm only now looking back and reflecting on my mom and how she literally has worked for so many years. And then every day after work would come home and make us food. And like, I feel like I took that for granted for so long. Like we would always say thank you for dinner, but it's like, I never fully recognized that she would come home from work, not sit down, and then just start making us food.
Yeah.
And then like help us with our homework.
Yeah.
And then I would wonder like why she wasn't doing more for me, you know? Right. It's really incredible. And I guess maybe when you have children, like you just naturally want to take care of them.
Yeah.
But I'm struggling to take care of myself as it is. And I don't know what the answer is. That's all I can say.
Yeah. I think that that's an appropriate conclusion.
Yeah. I do think though, God willing, one day when I have children, like, yes, we might naturally feel this sense of like wanting to take care. And it's like kind of like the adrenaline kicks in where you want to take care of other people. But it is very important to maintain a sense of self and like carve out that time for yourself, even if you have a billion things going on. So maybe a therapist or a life coach perhaps would say like you need to find one thing that makes you really feel calm, mm-hmm. and then like carve out 15 to 20 minutes a day for it.
Right.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah. So we hope you got something out of this episode. If nothing else, you realized why you don't go to sleep early at night and you're up watching yeah. TikToks.
Or if nothing else, you left being like, damn, they're crazy.
Yeah. Which is also maybe an appropriate response. But with that, you can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. You can follow us on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine PD. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Height. Where can people find you, Sarah?
You can follow me on Instagram at Sarah L. Sassone. Also Twitter, but I don't really tweet that often. And TikTok, but I haven't posted in a while. But you can follow me.
There's stuff
in there. There are archives. Yeah. Yeah. Go look at the Joe Jonas one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
That was the one that went viral. Liz is like low-key. You're blowing up.
Thanks.
So exciting.
Yeah, it's cool. So
with that, hope you took any lesson away from today. But if not, it's fine. And with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.